From KUER News in Salt Lake City, this is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. When Libby Linton and Spencer Harrison embarked on their first project as the band Mitto, they wanted something familiar, but they also wanted to create something new, conceptually, to challenge themselves. What they came up with is a hybrid of a classic sound from the 70s with a modern twist. Some have called it electropop. Mitto is interested in these contrasting elements, how the keyboard parts get broken up by a booming synthesized bass line. Today in the program, Mitto is joining us in studio as we continue our series on local music. Also on the program, we'll talk about the best local music of the year, the best albums of 2013. We invite you to join us after the news.
Hi, this is Benjamin Bombard, one of the producers of Radio West. Our online audio and podcasts are made possible by KUER and its listeners. If you like Radio West, help us make it happen. You can donate $10 right now by texting KUER to 85944. That's KUER to 85944. And thanks.
This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we are continuing our series on local music. The band Mitto is with us here in the studio to play some of their music from their very popular debut album. Mitto has been one of the most talked about bands this year. First, though, we're going to look back on the local music scene of 2013, the best albums, talk a little bit about how the scene may be evolving. Joining us is Kenesha Johnson, who is with Valor Live Music Gallery in Provo. Kenesha, welcome back.
Thank you. Always great to be here.
We have you in the studio this time as opposed to from Provo. We've had you there before. Glad you're here. Gavin Sheehan is also with us, senior writer for Slug Magazine. He produces the podcast Sound Waves from the Underground. Also writes and blogs for City Weekly. And Gavin, welcome back to you.
Hey, Doug. How are you?
Okay, so I guess what I'm always looking for is if there is some kind of theme for the year in terms of local music. Has there been something in particular you've noticed? Kenesha, anything to identify in terms of local music?
I think there's two things. One, I can say that the theme revolves around a person, and I'd say Nate Pfeiffer. Nate Pfeiffer,
right?
Has actually been producing pretty much all the major notable bands coming out of Provo right now, and there's some more on the rise as well. So,
we should say produced Mitto.
Yeah, he produced Mitto, Parlor Hawk. He didn't produce Moth and Flame's newest EP, but he produced their initial album and that was kind of the game changer. Polytype this year. Yeah. I know he's got a lot more in the pot. He actually was just nominated for a Grammy as well. So really exciting for him through a song he co-wrote for Cascade.
Hmm. Gavin, what are you noticing in the scene?
The return of hard rock. Light Black and Sabrosa are two bands that have really kind of taken it onto their own and have blown up the SLC scene, at least. I don't know how they've done state-wise. But the debut album from Light Black has really taken off. And, of course, Sabrosa, who got national acclaim through Decibel when they released their last album, their new one just got reviewed all across the place and has really blown up in here and overseas.
Well, let's play an excerpt from this because this is one of your top five?
Yes.
More Constant Than the Gods.
Yes, it took them 2.5 years to get back on this. They released their last album, their third album, and shortly after that, as many Utah bands do, they had broken up for various reasons. About a year later, they started getting back together, got some new members, and it took about a year and a half to put this album together, which was just a long, painstaking process to make it as perfect as possible. Got produced with Andy Patterson, who's also their drummer. Sent it off, and it got released on Profound Lore, and now it's just doing fantastic.
What do you like about this piece?
I like the tone that it kind of comes in just as this wall of sound. Like, it's not a barrage. It doesn't just, like, berate you like some metal, specifically doom metal, does. It kind of takes you in, puts you in a little bit of a mood, and then just hits you with this vibe that you can't quite explain. Just, you know, shakes you to your core.
Sabrosa. So this is from the track More Constant Than the Gods.
Yes.
I will find you.
So they're back together. You think they're headed somewhere?
I think they're headed somewhere fantastic. They're one of those bands that are on the cusp. I think, yeah, it's doom metal. It's a little harder for some people to get into, but it's not unheard of. And I think if they play their cards right and take a good tour, it could do wonders for them. I mean, there's only one direction they can go from here.
Right. Kenesha, let me ask you about Parlor Hawk. This is one of your favorites for the year.
I think if you live in Provo, it's no secret that I love Parlor Hawk. In fact, it's rare that I'm not wearing a Parlor Hawk t-shirt. I probably own about 20.
Say something about the band.
Well, the thing is, that band, their initial album came out a couple years ago now, and it was produced by Joshua James at the time. And the band lineup has changed since then, and it's really evolved. So this new record that Nate Pfeiffer actually produced with them really shows like a major evolution, I think, for the band, and kind of brings them into a modern sound, combining what their fans know as like Americana rock with all these new elements of major layering and electronic beats and just really cool, synthesized mechanics in there. So, and the songwriting is awesome. They've already had some couple placements on there this last couple weeks. So, kind of some exciting things happening for them. And I think as far as quality goes, it's one of the best albums that's been released this year in Utah. So
say something about this cut, Silhouette. I want to play some of that.
Yeah, this whole album is noteworthy. Silhouette is hands down my favorite song on the album, though. Marianne is one of most everyone's favorites with the single, but Silhouette is heavy and dark and heavy, heavy beats. I'm really attracted to heavy beats. I'm a visual listener, so I'm really accustomed to just kind of creating movies in my mind when I'm listening to things, and when I can be handed a soundtrack for a moment, that's really kind of what I feel like I'm watching. And as I was compiling this list, I realized my theme for my favorite tracks from this year is I just like a good fight. I like a song that sounds like a really great fight. Whether it's a good fight or a bad fight, I like a lot of the sense of like vigilantism, and I don't know, I think that's really come through in a lot of this stuff. So, but I think Silhouette is beautiful, and as much as it is a heavy, like intense, heavy beated song.
Parlor Hawk, the song Silhouette. Okay, so are you noticing, I wonder, are the music scenes, I wonder if they've ever been entirely segregated. And you've got the Provo scene, you've got the Salt Lake scene, there's this Ogden scene, I'm sure there's a scene elsewhere. Are they coming together, or are they still kind of separate scenes?
Doug, you pose a very interesting question. You know, we get asked this question all the time, yeah. And I would never really call it a segregation. I think
you're supposed to be the spokesperson for the Provo scene,
right? But I'm an advocate for good bands, yeah. And I think like we have a lot of Salt Lake bands that are gaining a major Provo following, and vice versa, and really working on developing, expanding the Provo community into Salt Lake. And from my observation, I don't live in Salt Lake. I go to a select amount of Salt Lake shows because I'm at Valor often, but it's just two different dynamics of how the music scene functions. But I see a strong sense of community in both regards, and it's been really exciting to watch a lot of this bridging happen. I'd say Lan Archiste, who you're familiar with, we had on a couple months, maybe a year ago now, yeah. But they're doing very well, I think, right now. They're a notable Salt Lake band, but they've gone out of their way to really develop relationships in Provo. And a member of the band lives in Provo now, is at Valor several times a week, and has made friends with all the Provo bands.
They just did a new video they sent me.
Yeah, they did. And cool. Their new album is due out soon, too. We're very excited.
So, Gavin, what do you think? I mean, I'll make you the spokesman for the Salt Lake scene. I'm wondering if these two, it's sort of like evolution, you know, on different islands or different continents, and these creatures evolve in different ways.
I agree with the community thing. I think that we're both trying to reach the same goal, but we're taking two different paths to get there, you know, and Provo is definitely got their way that they've made a major success of. And, of course, the bands that are coming out of there are just phenomenal. Salt Lake is doing the same thing. I think it's just taking a little bit of a different direction and a slower path. But to me, good music is good music.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter what city you're from. I mean, Salt Lake and Provo and even Ogden, which is more – I'll probably get grief for this, but it's more of a hip-hop scene.
Huh.
They're all taking very different directions, but the cream of the crop still rises.
Yeah.
I mean, and it really doesn't matter which city you're in. I think if you're a band that's at the top of your game and you got good music and you have something to say, you'll make it no matter what.
Yeah.
I just like to point out that it's been really helpful to have writers like Gavin from Slug and representing City Weekly. Both those papers have really reached out and attempted to include Provo in a lot of the major music discussions happening in Salt Lake. And I think that's actually really helped validate what we're doing down there and helped, you know, contribute to that sense of community between us. So
I want to, we don't have a lot of time left, but I want to go through some of the others. Kenesha, we'll get to Mido in a minute because you actually both have them on your top five. So, but Joshua James was a favorite of yours?
Yeah. You know, Joshua is a longtime Utah favorite in general. He's, you know, one of Utah's most successful independent artists right now. Just got off a huge tour, 2-month tour through Europe, crossing paths with the Moth of Flame and Imagine Dragons over there. Very exciting. And he's actually headed out for an Australia-New Zealand tour coming up as well. His latest full-length album from the top of Willamette Mountain. He might correct me on pronunciation, I'm from Portland, so I can't say it any other way. But Richard Swift produced that, who produced Damien Dorado's last two albums, and a lot of people know Richard Swift from his band The Shins. I love his impact on his record. I'd say he and Nate Pfeiffer are probably similar creatures in ways and adding complexities. The song that I had in my top list for the year and my favorite off Joshua's album is So Do I, and I think that's one of the most incredible songs on there. Again, a good heavy fight on that song.
Yeah.
And I'm really proud of this record Joshua's put out this year. So, and he's done a lot since then even, so it's a good one to include.
Did you think he was gone for a while? Did you wonder if he was coming back?
Oh, not at all. That's the thing.
Thought he was just going to go off and be an urban farmer.
Oh, that's the thing. He lives both lives.
Yeah.
He raises his goats and his children. And, you know, he's an essential artist, though, and he's really creating a world around him all the time and making music constantly. So,
Gavin, you mentioned Light Black,
yes.
Their self-titled you really like. Mm-hmm. Searching for Celia is another one, White Flag.
Yeah, a Provo band. It was a symphonic/rock band, that little 6-piece orchestra set that it's a shame they fell into, and we were discussing this earlier, me and Kenesha, into that 90% of what Utah bands do is they go about doing their thing, they make an album, and right as the album comes out, they break up and they're gone. And it's kind of a shame because you listen to it, it's fantastic. You've got great harmonies and it's all instrumental and just constructed very well. But just one of those albums that deserved more attention than it got, and the only reason it did was because the band wasn't around to promote it.
Famous Relatives, you really liked? Say something quickly about them.
Tim Myers, who's one half of Palace of Buddies, who done a ton of fantastic work, he decided to put out his own album that it kind of falls in that same form, but it's more him on vocals and the same kind of synth pop that he's known for making.
Coral Bones.
Yeah, Coral Bones is a relatively new band. Chris Bennion, he's the writer and producer of his own record there. And he's a young guy, too, but his, you know, wisdom comes through his music. That whole record is listens like a pop album.
Euphemism.
Yeah, euphemism.
Euphemism,
Euphemism
yeah.
Listens like a pop album. And each track could really stand alone. But lyrically, it's very dark, and it's kind of an interesting battle there. But he actually was a tie runner-up for our Battle Bands this weekend, and we expect to hear more great things from him.
All right, as we head to a break here, let me ask you about Mido, because it's on both of your lists. Kanisha?
I'm on Team Mido.
Team Mido.
Is that enough?
Would be hard not to be since they're here in the studio, but what do you like about Mido?
They're What's holding a knife to my neck right now. No, the this was my personal experience. You know, I hear bands every day of the week. And I was in search. Gosh, I had just been missing something fresh and something new and innovative and also something soulful. And I found all of that with Mido. And I think, you know, when they started playing in Provo and talking to us more about how to develop their record and how to develop the band, I couldn't hesitate at all. I just knew that this was a band that we had to be behind and to support because I think they have a really strong future outside of Utah, and I think they're starting to prove that this year already. And the record is beautiful. I haven't heard anyone say a bad thing about it. So,
it struck a chord with me. There are bands that I tend to refer to as sugar bands. It's like when you have sugar, it goes in you. You don't know where it goes or what it does. All you know is that it makes you feel good and you want some more. When you hear the songs and the way that they're constructed, and then the vocals kind of come in, just it's just beautiful to me, and it just finds a place in my heart, and it makes me just enjoy that entire album. There's not a bad track on it. Mm.
Should Libby get Female Vocalist of the Year?
Yes.
I say yes.
Okay. You're doing some on-air lobbying there. Kanisha Johnson with Velour Live Music Gallery in Provo. Kanisha, good to see you. Thanks very much. Gavin Sheehan, senior writer for Slug Magazine, produces the podcast Sound Waves from the Underground, also writes and blogs for City Weekly, and we'll put their lists on our website. Guys, thanks very
much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Doug.
Mido is with us when we get back from a break. You're listening to Radio West on KUER. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we are continuing our series on local music. The band Mido is with us here in the studio. It's music, they say, is influenced by all kinds of different genres. They use traditional instruments, of course, and electronic ones, too. They say they're interested in music that offers a different perspective and finds beauty in the ordinary and unremarkable. Mido are Libby Linton on vocals, guitar, and ukulele, Spencer Harrison on keyboards, guitar, and vocals, and Aaron Anderson is here as well, a member of the band Fictionist, plays drums for Mido, and welcome to you all. Thanks very much.
Thanks for having us.
We should mention Saturday, Mido is playing a Christmas concert with lots of other bands at Velour Live Music Gallery in Provo. We'll give you the details about that as we go. So, Libby and Spencer, when did you first meet?
So you mentioned that Aaron plays currently with the band Fictionist. Spencer used to play with Fictionist many years ago, and I, just as a result of being a solo musician in the music scene, became friends with all these guys and made a record with Stuart Maxfield, who is the lead singer of the front man of Fictionist, and I met Spencer that way, Spencer and Aaron that way. And it wasn't until a couple of years later, after Spencer had moved away and kind of come back, that we actually decided to work together. The extent of it when we first knew each other was just we sang one song together once and it sounded kind of nice. And then we just kind of let it.
That was the thing?
We sang once together and then ran into each other a couple of years later. So it was delayed. You thought this is nice. It's nice.
It was sort of one of those, we're in Logan, and it was Libby's CD release show for her album she did with Stuart as the producer. And she sort of said, I really want to sing this song.
You belong to me, right?
Yeah,
something weird about You Belong to
Me.
It was
my favorite song when I was like a 3-year-old.
Right.
So it's just, it goes way back down deep into my core that is one of my favorite songs and will always be one of my favorite songs. And so I just wanted somebody to sing with.
So she cornered me and she said, let's do this. She said, you could probably sing, because I sing backups in Fictionist. So I just sort of took on the role for Libby that night. And people thought, your voices sounded really sweet.
So that was the thing that was like, you guys sound good together. And then we
logged that in the back of our minds and thought, that's cool. And then we ran into each other after I had left Fictionist and moved to England and returned from England, and we ran into each other at one of the rooftop concerts in Provo, and it was sort of one of those moments of, hey, you're not doing much. We're both sort of dissatisfied with our current production levels of music, and let's play some shows this summer. Let's set up some stuff. And one thing led to another and just snowballed. So
yeah, I think we really bonded over where we were at that time, that we each were looking for something that was bigger and that was more interesting than what we were currently doing. And so it was just, it kind of meshed well.
But were you surprised that you ended up doing electronic music?
No, not really. I mean, I had been playing, sorry.
I almost just said extremely, but.
Well, let Spencer comment on how surprised he was. But for me, it was, I had been playing by myself with just an acoustic guitar for so long that it was, I was finding that didn't represent the kind of music that I was listening
to. Right, right.
And so then I wanted to make something that I was more excited about. Mm. And so it's not, it is kind of surprising how everything turned out the way that it did. But in a sense, I knew that it was going to be more complex than acoustic instruments.
Correct.
So maybe that's what I mean.
I would absolutely agree with that. I mean, I think the tools that I had when we first conceptualized writing songs together were very limited. So to imagine how it all would have turned out was absolutely impossible. But
right. But
yeah, I think we were both very influenced by a really wide swath of music, you know, listening to a lot of art electronic music for me in the sort of the years that I was in England and learning a lot about a lot of various artists and just feeling like I didn't have the tools to do that. So it seemed like a very foreign, sort of thing that I myself could make. So,
So when you started putting together the concept for the album, it's interesting. If I get this right, you were really resistant to the idea of acoustic,
right,
music. I mean, there's a little bit at the end of Two Hands,
there's
a little
banjo.
But other than that, that was
there's,
it.
There's literally, I don't think there's any.
We're not the ones with the resistance.
No, 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 let's... no. I think there was a decision. So Nate Pfeiffer, Kanisha mentioned Nate Pfeiffer. We brought him in because we knew that we wanted it to be a more collaborative experience. And early on, there were a few key decisions that we had made, and one of those decisions that the three of us had made was this was not going to be a folk album.
Yeah,
we were not going to use
why.
Why? I think, again, it's just reflective
Let's
of what we
different.
Were, what yeah. we were yeah. interested in doing, like what I had been doing, my background,
of course.
And just
probably.
Wanting to make it different.
Yeah, and probably music at large. You know, I think there's a lot of there was a lot of music that is very folk based, a lot of, you know, acoustic instruments, and then we love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we love
that's
that. I'm playing an acoustic guitar today.
Yeah.
So it's
not something we've run away from
no,
or neglected.
Not at all.
But it was an experiment really to say we want to push it in a couple of new directions. We have sort of the brain there, but let's just sort of cut, you know, make a rule and see what happens from that.
I want to have you play 3 Days on a Greyhound. And I guess the thing that's interesting about this seems to sort of convey what I guess is a kind of a signature musical theme in the album, in the sense that there are these all kinds of contrasting elements. I mean, you've got this, I don't know if in this version you're going to do the synth bass
line.
You'll
get a bit of it, but it won't hit as heavy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, because obviously it's a little bit different, but there's all kinds of stuff going on there in terms of musical themes.
Yeah. Now, this is that moment that you're referring to that's on the album is one of my personal favorite moments on the entire thing, where we've got this, it's kind of a slow build song. It's a bit quiet at the beginning, and then once the chorus hits, there's this really intense synth bass line that's contrasted with this really pretty piano line. So just those two elements battling each other. That's why maybe Kanisha likes us, because she liked the battling theme so much.
Right.
But we have these two elements that don't really go together in most applications, but they do in this song.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk about lyrics a little bit later, as much as you'll let me. But was there an image that – I mean, I'm sensing there's a bus stop here, of course.
Yeah, yeah. No, this is a traveling song is the way I would describe it, in very simple terms, that this is a song about going from one place to another, the things that you see, what you're feeling in life. It's a transition type story.
It's the band Domido. This is the song 3 Days on a Greyhound.
Forgot the way I lost. lost heart bust open dust. Thought I never needed to say hello, goodbye. Started alone in Newport. A mind with contempt for control. It came slow, but finally stains. Ready and willing. But oh please, you failed to try. If happiness happens for me, but I believe the way to life. If happiness, happiness fades, I pulled up to the stoplight to wait. Please forgive the fight. The garbage thrown dishes are broken. The dance slow. A worried mind worries no more. Waltz round the kitchen. For me, but I believe the way to life, the happiness, happiness fades. But oh, please, you failed to try. Happiness happens for me.
Middow, 3 days on a Greyhound from the new, their debut album. So, Libby, you grew up in Logan.
Correct.
You have a master's degree in biological engineering.
That's correct.
So, why? Like, I'm so interested in what's the relationship between music and science. Is there a connection there for you?
So for me, I was just debating this with someone because they were trying to tell me that two are related. And what I stand by is, so I would think about this a lot when I was doing my my graduate school, my project. I'd spend a lot of hours in the lab. And I think in music, there's a benefit of having some ability to use some analytical reasoning in what you're doing, in your songwriting, why you're doing what you're doing, what does this mean, and get down to the core of it and analyze it that way. And then in the engineering side of things and the science side of things, having creativity just makes you open to possibilities that maybe you otherwise wouldn't.
Yeah.
So I like to think that the two really benefit one another, but maybe that's just me.
No, absolutely.
I'm surprised by that in the sense that if you look at the lyrics of pretty much all of your songs, there's such a cryptic sensibility to them. They're deeply poetic, but there doesn't seem to be a clear narrative going on there necessarily.
Yeah, no, my tendency when I write songs, and I think Spencer similarly does this when he writes songs, is I don't write about a singular story. Yeah. I'm more of a time period writer. So it's like, what was going on in this moment? This maybe it was a week, maybe it was a day,
right,
where all of these things kind of relate to this one theme.
Does it start as a poem?
Sometimes. There's been songs in the past where, like, there was one song that I don't think my father knows this, but one song that actually took some lines from a poem that he had written. So, like, it might be inspired by, like, family members, that something that they're doing, or I might start with one line that I get really focused on, or a visual. I'm also very, like, I get stuck on an image of what that song becomes.
And if I can add something to Libby, when I've asked her about, oh, who's this song about? You know, who's Benny? There's usually like a short list or a long list of who that person actually is, because I think we all can
relate to that. Not just one person?
Right. Yeah, it's not just an individual. It's more just the representation of the relationship and how many people and things sort of take the form of that one thing.
I'll play into this time period. But yeah, mm-hmm. I don't use people's actual names in songs. Part of that is I don't really feel like it's fair for me to take something that's very personal to them and put it in a forum where there's potentially, you know, there's other people listening and thinking about it.
Did you write There, There?
I did, yes.
There's this moment in There, There, I'll never forget what's made me. I want every memory. What's that about? What piece is that?
So with that one, it's life, there's good and bad, right? There's obviously there's moments that you're very happy, very good moments, and then you've got really depressing things that might happen, or sad moments. And regardless of all of that shapes who you are as a person. And so I think with that line, it's not hiding from either things that you've done or things that have happened to you that you may otherwise try to repress or forget. But all those things actually do matter in making you who you are.
I'm going to be annoying here. I found balance inside my mother's hands. Is that your mother, or is that a sort of
that this sense? One's probably the most most direct. This song is about my mother.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is a song for my mother.
It's called There, There. Here's the band, Middo.
What on day the spark will run me, I found balance inside my mother's hands. Head on the couch and holding a weight heavy dove of St. Helen's eyes. And the queen homecoming loved, like each story that ends, there, there, don't feel down. But I'll never forget what's made me. I want every memory, let them come. Got busy and mislabeled our hours as limitless, dust in the distance. I formally wanted to say how I missed you lately. No, I can't figure it out. If only now it has to hurt, I can make it right. Can recreate all that it was. Oh, it has to work. It'll last for life. A delicate commanding cause. Oh, it has to work. With arms alive, stay the sun, hold up the sky. Oh, it has to work. Oh, it'll have to work. Unto a thousand fragments, burst, burst, burst. Without
the song There There from the band Middo. It's from their album, self-titled album, their debut album. Make a good Christmas present, folks. Libby Linton on vocals, guitar, and ukulele. Spencer Harrison on keyboards, guitar, and vocals. And we have with us Aaron Anderson from the band Fictionist playing drums. This Saturday, Middo is playing a Christmas concert with lots of other bands at Valour Live Music Gallery in Provo. We have details about that on our website, radiowest.kuer.org. We'll take a break. Back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West on KUER. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we are continuing our series on local music. The band Middo is with us here in the studio. Music influenced by all kinds of different genres, traditional instruments, electronic ones too, of course. Libby Linton on vocals, guitar, and ukulele. Spencer Harrison on keyboards, guitar, and vocals. We have with us also in the studio Aaron Anderson. You might recognize that name. It's from the band Fictionist. He's playing drums for Middo today. And on Saturday, they're playing a Christmas concert. We'll give you the details about that. In where else? Provo. So I wanted to ask you, Spencer Harrison, you left Fictionist a few years back. You went to England. And I've seen where you have described that time as, on one hand, it was this opportunity for self-discovery. But you've also described it as a time of kind of profound darkness.
Yeah, it was an interesting time in life. I think we all have
a hard time in life.
Yeah, I think, yeah, yes, hard. How about hard instead of interesting? It was both. It was definitely both. Sure. Being in England was an absolute joy. Had a chance to live in Oxford with my wife, which was just a lovely experience if you've ever been. It's a very magical place. But I think simultaneously for me, it's one of those life's moments of where you stand on that precipice of either continuing on in a brand new path, really foraging a new path for yourself. When Fictionist for me at that time was really something I defined myself as, of course, being a member of a band, and very much a band becomes sort of your cult brotherhood. And yeah. You know, the people you spend so much time with, traveling in a bus, getting dirty and eating terrible food. I mean, it was so much of what my life was. I'd sort of taken time off school and been part of this band. And then the time came when I just thought, you know, I think now is my time to part ways with this for the moment. So yeah, there was definitely quite a bit of back and forth of, no, this is great. I'm writing, I'm doing my thing. But then we say fast forward a year, and that's when Libby and I both met, and we were both sort of like, wow, well, we're trying, but it's, what we're doing independently at the moment isn't very exciting. And we're having a hard time sort of, repping myself. Hey, Spencer Harrison's the next greatest thing that's ever going to, it's kind of hard to sort of say that about oneself, to brand yourself as a something. So we had to get together and call it something else.
Did you think you would leave music entirely?
There were days. Yeah. I mean, like I'm interested in design and architecture, so I was looking into different programs for that. Still am, it's very much a part of me, of course. Yeah. Varied layers of my life, but of course, when you, music is one of those things that it's so easy to say it can be a hobby as I do something else as I'm doing it. So of course, many times I sort of have had a thought of that during that period of time.
I want to ask about the song "Maud." What I think is so interesting about this, Libby, is that it begins with, I guess it starts with this, it's about changing perspectives, if I get this right. And it begins with you seeing, actually you, Libby, seeing actually when you're pretty young, a house burning down?
Yeah, so I think, like I mentioned before, that I get stuck on a visual. Yeah. And for this song, the visual that I'd gotten stuck on was when I was a kid watching a house burn down in my neighborhood. And at the time, I think the idea was that at the time that it was very exciting. As a kid, it's pretty, and it's, you're not thinking about what it really means and what it means for the family whose house is burning down and all the people that are trying to contain this fire. And as you get older, your perspective can change, and you can see things for the tragedy that is in those moments that you don't see as a kid. So basically, the idea of how your perspectives change through the years, and with as you get more experience and as you learn new things, that affects the way you look back on things that have happened in your life.
Yeah, it was cool when you were a kid, and now it's,
yeah,
you
and
realize
that
it's
just
something not
right. So that translates to other experiences, sure, that you might have had, and at the time you saw them one way, and as you get older you see them differently.
Yeah,
with new eyes.
Mm-hmm. Here it is, the song "Maud" from Middo.
watched in awe the violent flames. It was a wake of art, my focus hard to break. I rebuilt the boys, fell apart. From a swing set marked in chalk on Central Park. Why'd you make me cry? I was only 6 years old. Why'd you left me alone? It was much too hard, you know. So let's go back before it started. You make them work for what they want to hear. You feed the fire. And I'm on my way to find some answers in the ashes on the avenues. With fear in your eyes, but I barely know it anymore. The incidental truth of things once hoped for. A fly sliding voice reveals a face that once had a voice but never had a name. Why'd you make me cry? I was only 6 years old. Why'd you left me alone? It was much too hard, you know. So let's go back before it started. You make them work for what they want to hear. You feed the fire. And I'm on my way to find some answers in the ashes on the avenues. With fear in your eyes. So let's go back before it started. You make them work for what they want to hear. You feed the fire. And I'm on my way to find some answers in the ashes on the avenues. With fear in your eyes.
Is the name of the song. It's from their self-titled album. So Spencer mentioned there's not a Benny for the song Benny. Not one Benny anyway. There are a lot of Bennies, I guess.
This is a big hoax, Doug.
You know what is so great about this song is I think you yourself, Libby, have said this is kind of one of the more hopeful songs on the album. And what there's this, I think you've put it this way, like a call to action. And it's what you seem to be saying in the song is, come on, guys, pay attention.
I think at the time that I wrote this, the lyrics for this song, it was a song that I needed to wake up kind of thing, where it was, you get caught in the routine of the day to day, you get lost in just viewing what's happening on a daily basis. It's just normal, and not recognizing all of the interesting things that are actually happening in your life or around you. And so it was a wake up. It was just pay attention to what's going on, a personal type thing, and hopefully that translates for other people too. That there's a lot of good. There's a lot of remarkable things, even if you don't always notice them.
Yeah, you see it that way, Spencer?
Yeah, and for me, if not wholly remarkable, at least complex, and therefore sort of making life more rich. Yeah, and I think that's where I really relate on the songs that Libby's written with those kind of themes. So the sort of that for lack of a better word, the maturing, the growing up, the seeing, the gray and everything. Yeah. That was something I really, really, you know, that I think we really connected on, is the fact that it isn't just black and white, you know, and that there's all that intricate detail that to me is beauty, the opposites. And I can very much see it the same way. Yeah.
Here's the song Benny from Mido.
Benny, won't you be the one to memorize all of my lines? Just hold the candle if I'm blowing out the flame. Come make it happen. Come make it happen. Come make it happen. So many lives you never led. So many hearts you'll never love. Consoled for lack of any terrible mistake. Try to make it soften. Try to make it soften. Try to make it soften. The morning light, the day he reframed those hands. You sold on the freeway. The time's not right for delicate exchange, when all you want is just an escape. So don't, you're restless, let's get it right. The prolific can make you tick. The tangible can make you whole. Consume forever every second that you got. It's louder and it won't stop. It's louder and it won't stop. It's louder and it won't stop. The morning light, the daily refrain, those heavy salt on the freeway. The time's not right with every desperate word we say, when all you want is just an escape. So dull, you're restless, let's get it right. Or I'll only say, at least we tried. Benny, won't you be the one? Oh, Benny, won't you be the one? Oh, 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 no, Benny, won't you be the one? Come on, make it happen.
Benny, that's the band Mido. I'm going to play as much. Want you to play as much of Feet to the Sun as we possibly can. We're out of time, but that's okay. We'll get as much as we can in. But I want to say finally, one thing we haven't mentioned yet is that Spencer and Libby don't actually live in the same city. Spencer, you're in, I think, North Carolina these days. You were in D.C.
Correct.
But it seems to be working, right? I mean,
We're like, I think we've gotten to a point now after working together for the last year and a half or however long it's been, that we're kind of like a brother sister type relationship now, where I really like working with Spencer, and I hope it's mutual. We'll make it work long distance. It's been working so far.
One of our mantras in the band is that with the internet, various things that we can do, there's a lot of work that can be done without sort of living in the same place, and sort of, you know, it's amazing. We love our technology in this band. I think that's probably true.
Well, good luck to you both. Thank you very much. Libby Linton on vocals, guitar, ukulele. Spencer Harrison on keyboards, guitar, and vocals. And Aaron Anderson, thank you very much to you.
Thank you.
For coming in. Of course, with a member of the band Fictionist playing drums today. Look, check out the film Enough Said. You'll hear Way With Words from Middow, by the way, that new film with James Gandolfini in it. You might recognize that. I'll also mention Radio West is a production of KUER News, the program produced by Benjamin Bombard and Elaine Clark. Saturday, Middow is playing a Christmas concert with lots of other bands at Vlor Live Music Gallery. For all the details, go to our website, radiowest.kuer.org. Here's a song from Middow, Feet to the Sun.
Understanding, guess we got off track. But what I'd said when I was taken, short path, I'd like to make it last instead of that hate waste in search of the sun.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, yeah. My pleasure.